I hear the clink of cups. I'll give you a moment. I'm going to ask you a personal question. You don't have to answer out loud. You can just think about the answer, because it's a pretty personal question. How often do you take a shower or take a bath? Some of you might be thinking, well, I know how often I do it, but the person next to me needs to do it more often. I don't know. In the Middle Ages, the Vikings were veritable neat freaks because they would bathe once a week, compared to the Anglo-Saxons who bathed once a year, whether they needed it or not. Today, we are obsessed with cleanliness, and if you go to a drugstore or a pharmacy and you can walk up and down aisles filled with potions and concoctions to keep you clean and make you smell fresh and look young and all of that and extend your life, they say, and whatever. But why is it that we bathe? Why do we take showers and do all of this stuff? Well, it's because we recognize that we're dirty, right? We recognize we're dirty and we want to get clean. I remember a friend of mine who works in construction talking about being on a project where by the end of the day, he was just covered in so much dust and concrete dust, he said he would just wear his clothes and walk into the shower and turn the shower on and rinse off all of his clothes before he started taking them off. That person may or may not be here today. But when you're dirty, you recognize that you need to bathe and get clean. But what happens if you suddenly realize, or over time you come to realize, that you're dirty on the inside? What if you come to recognize that your soul is dirty? That your mind is dirty, that your imagination or your desires or your will is dirty? How, like, where do you find a shower that will clean that off? There isn't one, right? You go up and down the aisles at the pharmacy and they don't have a bottle of stuff that'll clean your soul, that'll clean your mind. So how do you bathe your spirit? That's what we're talking about today is baptism. Baptism is an act of bathing. The word baptize comes from the Greek word for to dip or to bathe. It wasn't a religious word in Greek, it was just the normal word of bathing and cleaning, dipping something in water. But baptism is a recognition that we're dirty on the inside. That, oh my goodness, I don't love people the way I should. I don't obey God the way I should. I do things I shouldn't do. And, you know, maybe compared to other people, I'm a good person, but, you know, that's just kind of a gradient of how bad do you smell on the inside. And so baptism is a recognition that we need to be cleaned or cleansed spiritually. Now, Christian baptism is a sign that we recognize our sinfulness, we recognize our disobedience and our lack of love for other people, but it's more than just a recognition of our need to be cleansed. In the Old Testament, the Jews had all of these laws, these purification laws and cleanliness laws and washing laws and all of that, and that was a sign of the need to be clean. In the Old Testament, God's people were to be different from the other nations by their cleanliness, and their physical cleanliness was pointing to a spiritual cleanliness. But all they could do was wash the outside. They didn't have the way to wash on the inside that we find in Jesus. So Christian baptism, different from all of the cleaning laws of the Old Testament, Christian baptism recognizes that we have found a way to be cleaned on the inside. So Christian baptism, it begins with that recognition that we need cleaning. It begins with that recognition of, you know, of our sinfulness, of our brokenness, of our disobedience to God, and the way that that plays out in our actions. You may not act bad on the outside, but you may recognize that your desires are wrong or that your attitudes toward people are wrong. And that's part of the sin that we recognize in Christian baptism. But the power of Christian baptism, and even what makes it different from John the Baptist's baptism in the New Testament, is that in Christian baptism, it's a baptism of repentance and salvation. It's a baptism recognizing we have found salvation in Jesus, that he has paid the price for our sin on the cross. We have accepted that forgiveness, but also beyond that, we have accepted his authority over our life. It's a sign that you have pledged your allegiance to Jesus. because you have put your faith in him to restore your relationship with God. You've asked Jesus to forgive your sin, to clean you up of all the stuff that gets in your way with your relationship with God, and that you are now submitting to his authority in every area of your life because you've been reconciled to God. It's the effect, not the cause, right? Baptism is the effect of having your relationship with God restored. It's not the cause of your relationship with God being restored. You have to make sure you get that in the right order. But it's a response. Jesus has fixed my relationship with God through his forgiveness of sin, so I'm going to be baptized as a testimony to that. It is an outward sign of this inward change that has taken place inside you, that you have surrendered to Jesus. Not only to have your sins forgiven, which is really important, but I think sometimes we want our sins forgiven, but we don't want to have to then be in relationship with God and his people. Right? We want kind of the, I want to be forgiven, but I don't want to be reconciled to other Christians, or I don't want to have to submit to God's authority. Baptism is a sign that your relationship with God is being restored, and your relationship with people is being restored as well. Now, it's an outward sign of an inward change, and it symbolizes our need for cleaning and forgiveness, and it symbolizes that we have found that need met in Jesus. It's an act of initiation also into joining the broader group of people called Christians. It's a sign that we have become a Christian. Now, it's interesting, at the end of Matthew, as Jesus is heading back to heaven after the resurrection, the famous passage called the Great Commission, he says to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Why is it that Jesus says that we're to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? I think there's a variety of reasons for that, but let me point out one important connection. We're baptized in the name of the Father because it's our relationship with the Father that is being restored. We are baptized in the name of the Son because it is through the Son, Jesus, that our sins are forgiven and that this way of reconciliation has been opened. We are baptized in the name of the Spirit because when we accept Jesus' forgiveness, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us and brings us new life, brings us new birth. Christians, especially evangelicals, talk a lot about being born again. That's what this means. It's the Holy Spirit. You are born again through the Spirit, giving you new life in Christ. And Jesus goes on, he says, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Well, it is because of the Spirit living in us as Christians that we are able to obey all of the things that Jesus has commanded us. It is the work of the Spirit in us, purifying us, changing the way we think, changing what we desire, changing the way we think of other people, building in us that self-giving attitude of love that allows us to obey everything that Jesus has commanded us. So it's important that, you know, it's not just a formula, it's important, it's significant that we are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because all three of them are participants in what makes our baptism meaningful. Right? It's the Father to whom we're reconciled and who sent the Son. It's the Son who came and paid for our sin on the cross. It was the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead and comes to live in us and give us new life so that we can obey. So in a few minutes when we have our baptism and I baptize the candidates in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, think about the fact that the Christian Trinity is involved in all of these aspects of baptism. So in a few minutes, we are going to hear from Naomi Hill and Sam Hill. We're going to hear their testimonies of how they came to this point of responding to what Jesus has done in their lives, recognizing they need to be cleaned from their sin, finding the solution to that problem in Jesus, who can do the cleansing, and then also committing themselves to follow Jesus. So we're going to hear their testimony up here, and then we're going to go and we're going to change, and we'll see you again from the baptistry. But as we go, and as you're thinking about and listening to Sam and Naomi, I want us to reflect on what baptism means that I've just talked about. I want you to ask yourself, have you been baptized? You know, if you have been baptized, this is a really good time to remember the commitment you made at your baptism, to remember your testimony of what Jesus did in your life to bring you to that point. and at this point to kind of recommit again to Jesus. As these two young people are making a public declaration, you can reiterate your own public declaration privately that, you know what, Jesus, I do need to recommit to you. You know, if you were baptized and you're not following Jesus anymore, I really want to challenge you, why? What happened? You know, at one point you were telling a whole group of people that you had submitted to Jesus' lordship in your life, and if he's not your Lord right now, what's happened? Ask Jesus, what happened? Where did I go wrong? And again, this is a good time to say, Jesus, I need that reconciliation again. Can you do that again and help me to follow you again like I once did? Now, maybe you believe in Jesus, and maybe you've asked him to forgive your sins, but you haven't been baptized. I was at that point for a long time. I came to Christ when I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I didn't get baptized until I was 20, and part of that was because the church wouldn't baptize me when I was young, and so then I said, fine, be that way. And it took a while for God to say, no, you still need to get baptized. So maybe you're at that point in your life where you've asked Jesus to forgive your sins and you haven't been baptized. What's standing in your way? You know, are you afraid of that public declaration? Do you think it's not important? Well, it is important. Jesus commanded it. So if you love Jesus and you haven't been baptized, let me issue that challenge. Why not? And if you want to talk about that, I'd be happy to talk with you. Now, maybe you don't love Jesus. Maybe you haven't asked Jesus to forgive your sins. And there are people here who are in that place, and that's fantastic that you are here. It's not as fantastic that you're in that place spiritually. Let me ask you, why? What, you know, Jesus paid for your sin. He died to clean you up and reconcile you to God. What's standing in the way of you accepting that and being reconciled to God? Now, I know people in that place have a lot of questions, and I don't want to trivialize your questions, but I will make the offer. Come talk to me after the service, or my email is on the program. Shoot me an email. I'll get together with you. We can talk about what your questions are about Jesus, but I would love to teach you more and tell you more about what he's done for you so that you can accept his forgiveness, and one day, maybe at this church or another church, you'll be the one getting baptized. Not because that saves you, but because you've been saved through Jesus. So if you haven't come to that point, let me challenge you to think about what's standing in your way. So I'm going to ask Naomi if she would come forward now. She's going to give her testimony. I have been privileged to know Naomi her entire life. And so it is really a privilege. I know the Hills have kind of moved away. They don't worship here regularly anymore. And that's okay that they're back and being baptized here because we are their family. And I'm proud to see both of their kids here who are willing to take this step at this point. But let Naomi share in her own words how she's come to this point in her life.